It is hard to believe, but we are at our 50th episode.
I'm the talent. I don't know anything about being a podcast producer.
We would be arguing about whose turn it was.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
the Me Too movement.
Is this just a social media conversation? Break your silence to speak your truth.
What's in bounds? What's out of bounds? What's up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Woo woo.
This is our last show of 2017.
Happy holiday, homies.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holidays, homies.
I'm in like the best mood today because I saw one of my childhood heroes at a breakfast today. The greatest female athlete of all time. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Jackie Joyner Carson.
Hello, somebody.
We do love old Jackie.
JJK is the GOAT. Jackie, if you listen, holler at us.
Hey, Jackie.
We went to school
with you. East St. Louis.
In the building.
In the building.
Channeling
like
my
it.
Channeling my 90s slang.
That's right. Hey, girl.
Tweet me. But
Lincoln High School.
Yeah, Lincoln. That's right. Belleville East in the building. But no, all jokes aside, you know, we wanted to take an opportunity before we went on holiday. And yes, I said holiday instead of vacation. I want to remind the homies that we used to live in Sicily.
That's right, right. Oh Lord. I'm on holiday.
We're on holiday. But no, there's been so much going on in the news, so many women telling their stories, being courageous enough to share their stories, and men being fired, that we can't not speak on the Me Too movement and everything that's going on regarding sexual harassment in the workplace. And we just felt compelled individually, collectively, and then by all the feedback that we're receiving from the homies to have a show discussing the topic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty sobering time and extremely fascinating as well to be in corporate America right now, really just America, actually, because the Me Too movement has, you know, just touched all industries and is just spreading so fast. And what has really shocked me is the way that people are perceiving sexual harassment and sexual misconduct, I wanna say has changed vastly. And we'll get into some of my thoughts in the episode, because in some ways I think it's shifted tremendously. And then in other ways, we're sitting here right now as we record, waiting to see if Roy Moore is going to be elected as a new senator in Alabama, even though we've seen other political figures ousted out their seats. He looks like he's going to get a seat with accusations.
And the sitting president of the United States has not, as we record this show, had any consequences for any of his allegations. So,
right.
But what, you know, you just used a very powerful word in that it's a very sobering time. You know, what really struck me is 1 in 4 women have experienced some type of sexual harassment in the workplace. And 71% of those women did not report any of it. And
that,
that's,
you know,
scary.
That doesn't surprise me. Well, that doesn't surprise me because, I mean, you know, and I guess, you know, because when you say that, I don't know a woman who probably doesn't have some type of sexual harassment story to tell. I mean, I certainly know I do, and I certainly know you do. And so, and I've never reported anything. And I don't think you have either, right?
No, I haven't. And I think some of that comes from, I think Tracy Ellis Ross used the word patriarchal society that we live in. But I was, you know, saying, I think as women, well, I know as women, we're used to inappropriate, unwanted advances from when we're, even from when we're young. So I think about, you know, we're from Memphis, Tennessee. Our family's from Memphis, Tennessee. And I think about being on Beale Street as a teenager and somebody's, you know, hey, girl, hey, shawty, hey, pimpin', hey, so-and-so.
Hey, little mama.
Hey, little mama. And then if you're not interested, it turns into, well, forget you too then. I ain't like you stankin' so-and-so, da-da-da, you know.
You ugly bitch. Yeah. Right. No, now you an ugly bitch. Right.
And so I...
Like, with the quickness. Like, right. 5 minutes like ago, you wanted to date me.
Correct.
And now I'm a bitch. I mean, just that quick.
And so I...
Or because I won't let you grab my booty.
Correct. And I think that... experiencing that your entire life from the time that you're 13, 14, 15 years old, when by the time you get to be an adult in the workplace and somebody tells a pervasive joke or says something about the size of your breast or touches you slightly in an inappropriate way, as sad as it's to say, we're all kind, as women, we're used to it and we're like, well, that's not the worst thing I've ever heard. That's not, and so you just kind of let it slide. So it does not surprise me.
Yeah, it's a little bit of the Stockholm syndrome, right? Like you just dealt with it so much, you're conditioned, and that's certainly because. So let me just start off at the top because you know I don't want to mislead any of the homies. Like I have never really experienced anything as egregious as any of the reports that are coming out. So I have never had anyone disrobe in front of me.
Pull their junk out.
I just never had like anything. That's what I'm saying, disrobing. Like I've never had anybody do anything like that. I've never had anybody proposition me that I was working with. But I guess I'll just start with like the first sort of like inappropriate thing in the workplace, like you said, not on the street, not at a party, not in a social setting that I remember. Very early in my career, I worked with a gentleman and he would always like rub my face, like literally take the back of his hand and like just like your skin. And then he said something to me, and of course I'm going to misquote him, but it was something like, I just never known a regular black woman that I thought was pretty. Like I found, you know, Halle Berry pretty and Beyonce, but they're famous.
Right.
Yeah. They're famous. And I had to literally say, you can't touch my face. Like you can't just reach out and touch me. Like that's not allowed. You can't actually.
That's not how this works.
You can't actually touch
me.
That's
not how any of this works. Yeah.
That's not how any of this works. And so that was sort of the first thing. And then, of course, you know, there are many more things over the years, but that was sort of the first thing, you know, that I was sort of like, I'm not a dog in a pet shop. Like, please stop. But just sort of being objectified in that way.
Right. And I mean, like you said, I haven't had anything. Near as assertive or aggressive.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Okay, I gotta stop.
You got an update on Roy
CNN
Moore?
CNN just came through. And Doug Jones won.
What? Come on, Alabama.
I just gotta believe
Make
in
us
America.
Proud, Alabama.
I gotta believe in America again.
Make us proud, Alabama.
And
what's,
when
the,
Bemetrius,
what's the count? What's the count?
And when Bemetrius said at the top of the show, we from Memphis, I'm like, Anaconda, Alabama. By way of Alabama,
way
we
Alabama.
From Alabama too. So
what's
I was really, it doesn't say, oh, I just got a breaking news from CNN. You should have gotten it too.
I did.
It just says CNN projection. I don't have a count. It just has a projection.
We'll take it.
But I'm sorry to interrupt, but we will take that. That is a stunning win. That is a big win for this movement. That is a big win for the country. I feel like, I mean, the country has... We have fatigue right now. I am calling this whole thing not the Me Too movement. I think of it all as post-Harvey, and I don't mean the hurricane. I mean Harvey Weinstein. For me, that's sort of when people started shifting to me, the way that men, especially in the workplace, started talking about harassment. What do you think? That's what I think.
Yeah,
do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Or no?
It's been a very interesting turn of events because, you know, I feel like Bill Cosby started this and no one seemed to care but the black community. When I say no one cares, it wasn't really discussed. Even though you had like supermodels like Beverly Johnson speaking to it. And then, you know, the Cosby Show got pulled from syndication. And even black people were like defending him like they were his uncle. And it did not have this type of outrage. And it certainly didn't catch any kind of momentum. But after...
No, not at all.
After Harvey Weinstein, it's like people were like, oh, yeah. And then it's just like every day some powerful, well-known man that we're all familiar with, it feels like over the last, 4 months, is falling, you know? And not like a lone wolf accuser. Like, which it seems like from the news reports, if you have an issue with this, you don't have this issue with one woman. You have this issue with several women.
Yes, because I think it's like most things. You are not doing this in isolation. You know what I mean? Like you said, you're not going to just do this and it's...
Turn it off.
Right. And you're like, oh, that one time I groped someone, that one time I was offensive. Because what I do believe is when you get away with it, it gives you the space and the room to say that it was okay, especially when they don't report you.
I think the person who, for me, has been most disturbing that has fallen out in all of this is definitely been Matt Lauer. You know, the locking of the door from his desk was one of the most disturbing things. I cannot.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I'm just agreeing with you.
The remote locking, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine being in the office, and I think about how many meetings I've had with people in their office, and it would have never dawned on me that I'm locked up in that mug.
Or worse, you're not locked in there. I mean, what I envision is he says something, it makes you uncomfortable. You're like, okay, I'm about to go. And then click, click. No, you're not. And then you're stuck. The thing about the whole Matt Lauer thing that really struck me was basically what we started talking about at the top of the show is that it was clear that that was his behavior for years. I mean, decades even. And no one had ever reported him, even though it was sort of an open secret at not just at the Today Show, but at NBC as a whole, amongst all the shows.
Yeah, Mika said something like that on Morning Joe the week that he was fired, that it was an open secret. And then Joe kind of jumped in and was like, that's not fair. We just thought he was a philanderer and we knew that he had all these relationships. I think what's more disturbing is that, you know, tomato, tomato, whatever, but no one at NBC took the time to, what's the word I want to look for? Try to see if there was any validation to any of these rumors. And I'm not convinced that absent the Variety article, and I can't remember the other publication, that they were doing a 2-month investigation, that we would have even ever known about this.
Yeah, and let's unpack that for a second, because to me, even the way that Joe and Mika saw that, to me is a lot of times what happens between men and women. Because Joe saw that as consensual relationships, as affairs. And Mika saw that as openly knowing that he was harassing people. And I tend to agree with Mika on that. It is hard to have a consensual relationship with your boss, with the most powerful man at the network. And so when he is, you know, making advances towards you, you know, then do you have the ability to not date him or to turn his advances down? And, it, you know, without there being, you know, complete consequences. And I don't want to rehash, you know, all of the facts, because I think all the homies know the facts as much as, you know, I guess we should talk about, like, where do we think we go from here? Because when I really think about this, I guess we, even before we go from here, who I really thought about first was Anita Hill, because she was sort of the first person I knew to sort of talk about sexual harassment. Nobody listened to her, which, in my opinion, a lot of that, you know, was maybe what that was sort of what you were talking about, the Bill Cosby, maybe because that was Black people, maybe because that was Clarence Thomas and it was Anita Hill and people were not outraged. And it wasn't, you know, before. And now we have, people are outraged. And so where do you think we're going to, because it seems to me now the pendulum has swung and now I feel like we're at a zero tolerance. I mean, the Matt Lauer thing came out and he was fired within a day. Charlie Rose, fired. I mean, not we're doing an investigation, we're checking to see, fired.
You know, it's interesting. The pendulum has definitely swung. You think about Anita Hill, I think about all of the women at small companies, banks, you know, Fortune 500 companies that are in low-level positions that either just quit or get fired for, you know, bad evaluations that disrupted their livelihood, you know, their children's livelihood, that nobody even knows, you know, anything about. I was actually talking about this morning with a couple of state lobbyists, and one was a white male lobbyist, and one was a Latina female lobbyist. And the Latina lobbyist was saying she thinks it's going to affect her business, that people are not going to want to, they both run their own firms, that people are not going to want to hire her because, you know, lobbying is about relationships and whatnot, and people aren't going to feel comfortable, like, basically being in a room alone with her. And, like, if they have a chance to hire her or a male lobbyist, like, why would they want that hassle? And so I didn't even think about the fallout, the unintended consequences or unintended fallout from this, that where we're intending to swing in a good way, they could have really negative effects on women in business. And I'm not saying that I agree with her. It's just not anything that I had thought about until I heard her say that this morning.
Really? Because I thought about that. I thought about that when Mike Pence first said that he didn't take any meetings with women. I thought, well, isn't that hard for women who work for him or with him to have a trajectory of success? Because if you don't get to have meetings alone with him, then how much, you know, how far can you go if
forward
you don't
movement.
Right. If you can't meet with him. And I do think right now I could see where it would make people hesitant, given that there is a zero tolerance, like that there is a, you are gone. A lot of that is good because there's been so much of this boys will be boys, or I had someone
locker room talk,
or I had someone say to me the other day, but you know, don't you think a lot of that has just been, you know, stemmed, you know, as alcohol's played a role in it, as to sort of imply where if you're in a social setting, then that doesn't count. You know, if you're in a social setting and someone's had too much to drink and they do something inappropriate, let's don't blow his career up. And I don't know. I mean, I think that's why all of this is very, very difficult. I will say this as a woman of color, because I really want to make sure that I say this for our white female homies. My white girlfriends, their stories are so much more egregious than mine.
They are terrifying.
I mean, the stuff that I have heard my entire career that they have experienced, it is,
and endured,
is outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous.
Same for me, and nothing close to what, I mean, my stuff seems like if it were a movie, a G rating compared to the things that they're in, like
triple X.
R rating, triple X. And you're like, what he did? What in the world? And it's you know, to say where do we go from now, go from here, I think obviously only time will tell, but I think that I don't think we know where we're going until we hit the top or the bottom, however you want to look at it. And I think we're still in the middle of it. I mean, because, like, I know that what gets covered are the national stories, but I think about how many people in the cities that we live in where people are dealing with this on an everyday basis. And there's some secretary right now at some small business. It's like, I wish somebody would you know, report on the gentleman that I work with. You know, I think about the very first time somebody says something, you know, inappropriate to me, and I don't want to use the words on the podcast, but it was really sexually explicit. You know, I was, you know, in a meeting with a gentleman, just the two of us, and we were talking, and he said something along the lines of, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to anything you said because I was thinking about you giving me oral sex. But he didn't say it in that way. He said it in a much more explicit way.
That's right.
And I was just like, what? I remember just being in shock. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know if I was supposed to laugh it off. I didn't know if I was supposed to stand up and curse him out and storm out the room. It was a client. I mean, in like 12 seconds, so many thoughts went through my head. And here's the thing. He didn't touch me. But
nevertheless, you felt violated.
Not only did I feel violated, I remember feeling vulnerable because it was just the two of us in the room. And I thought, well, if I say something, vulnerable, because I remember thinking it's just the two of us in the room. And if I say something, is anybody even going to believe me? Like, oh, this dude was trying to get it. Really? And you're like, yeah, really. And I think that that's why most women don't say anything, is because they feel either ashamed,
powerless,
in denial, powerless, fear of losing their job, or some combination of all of those things.
Yeah, I completely agree. And so I do think, you know, one of the things I've been wondering, and I would love to hear from the homies about this, is, you know, are your companies doing additional training right now? Are they talking about this at work? Is this just a social media conversation?
It's so funny that you say that, because I read an article yesterday that said all these companies are doing all this training. I have not heard one of my friends, nor have I seen at my job, where anybody has spoken about this, where, you know, we get all of this computer-based training, in-person training. I haven't seen anything where they have said, basically, there's a heightened awareness of this. Let's make sure everybody is reminded of what's in bounds, what's out of bounds. I haven't heard any of my friends or any of the other homies that I personally know say, oh, this is what's going on in my job is a reflection of this. And if we're not doing that as a country, that's a miss.
Yeah. And I mean, and to me, there was nothing bigger than letting you know how big the issue is and that we needed that than when Time made the Me Too movement the person of the year. Now, I will say, and I would be remiss if I didn't say this, you know, Tarana Burke started the Me Too movement a decade ago after she had experienced her own
trauma.
And was wanting to, you know, take some power back and let other women know that they were not alone. And then Alyssa Milano actually got on Twitter and was like, let's say Me Too. And then it sort of, you know, took off. And now the, you know, Silence Breakers are the person of the year. What was disappointing to me is that even though Tarana Burke started the Me Too campaign, somehow she didn't make the cover of Time.
Microaggressions.
And I don't understand that. And that's what I mean about sometimes this conversation, it breaks down even more so down racial lines. And I don't think it should. I just don't think it should. I don't think we should further divide ourselves. I think it's a hard enough conversation and has enough commonality without needing to put any kind of division between it.
And miles to go before we sleep.
Miles to go before we sleep.
I just think, you know, like you said, it's hard enough to be dealing with all of this as a woman, and then throw being a woman of color on top of that. It shouldn't be a different dynamic, but sadly it is. And like you said, it was her idea. She's the one who birthed it. It becomes Time Magazine Person of the Year, and somehow they put 40 women on the cover and she ain't one of them.
And the same thing with Harvey Weinstein. I mean, he had all these women accusing him. He doesn't respond to anybody. And when Lupita makes her allegation, that he actually responds to her. I don't really understand that. I can't say that, right. I actually have any right. explanation. Answer. Yeah, for any of that. And so this, you know, this episode, you know, obviously was a little different than our other episodes because we don't have any tips for you. You know, we don't have any advice for you except for to stay in the good fight, you know, to keep making your voices heard.
Be
to
courageous.
To break your silence. If we learn anything, I mean, you know, I keep going back to the Doug Jones win tonight, because what I remember about Doug Jones long before he was running for the Senate seat is he was the prosecutor who would not let the gentleman who killed the four little girls in the Alabama
50
church.
50 years later, he years made later, sure.
That they paid. He was like, I don't care if they're old. I don't care if they're aging. They deserve to pay for this. And they will stand trial. That's the Doug Jones that I first came to know. And so, same thing. I just encourage all the homies, male and female, to break your silence, to speak your truth. You know, didn't know we were going to end our season or recording year on such a heavy note, but you know, this was such an important topic that we wanted to make sure that we got a chance to address it.
And I would say, because it is such an important topic, and in many ways tonight you really did get just a glimpse into a conversation between me and Dee, we want to hear from you guys. So please tweet us, you know, send us an email, inbox us on Facebook. We love to hear what you're seeing, what you're hearing. Like Demetra said, are your companies doing training? You know, this is such a big thing and a shift in our country, and we want to hear from the homies and be a part of the conversation.
Right. Demetra sort of alluded to this at the top of the episode, but want to just let you know that this is our last episode of the year. We are going on holiday, so there will not be any more episodes for a couple of weeks, and we will not have episodes again until January. So until January, you can catch us on our normal places. If you're new to listening, we have 51 episodes in the bank. Woo. So you can go back and listen to previous episodes. We're on iTunes, we're on Google Play, we're on Stitcher, and then of course you can follow us on social media. We'll still be posting on social media
all the time.
Our social media channels are Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that. You can find us there. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.